Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure. It's like a dream come true for me to be able to be here with you today, to spend some time with you. And I know it is for you, too. I'm sure it is, because you tell me that all the time. Joan Pratt is our guest. She's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Now in her, let's see, this would be her ninth year to be a member of our Brain Trust. And she's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Thanks, Joan, for joining
us. Hi there,
again.
Jim.
It's good to have you here.
Glad to be back.
Did you know that today is National Women's History Month?
No, I guess I should have.
How about that?
Yeah, wow.
And don't you want to say happy birthday to Ohio and Nebraska?
Of course.
So
many happy returns.
1803 for Ohio and wow. 1867 for Nebraska.
Gee. Oh, this 67. Is, so that's probably a big anniversary.
Yeah, 100 and what would it be, 140 years?
I can't do the math.
And Articles of Confederation, happy birthday to those.
Wow.
To those pages as well, because this is the day that they were ratified in 1781, the Articles of the Confederation.
You're always full of this important trivia.
I've got more stuff here, too. But, Joan, let's talk about what's happening today.
Okay, today.
Today in Washington, D.C., Congress, I think it's the Senate. I'm almost sure it's the Senate.
I think that's right, yeah.
One of those bicamerals is voting on what is incorrectly called, ladies and gentlemen, the Employee Free Choice Act. Now, Joan, tell the audience what this is.
Well, I'll follow your lead on this one, Jim. I don't know a whole lot about it. It has to do with the way... I guess the point at which you certify that the election has taken place and the union is created.
Well said. That's exactly right. What has happened in the past, folks? Let me back up. No, what is happening currently? What happens today if employees want to organize in your business, then you are notified and an election is allowed to take place. And I'm paraphrasing and roughing through this thing, so don't take me, you know, this is not the perfect explanation, but it's pretty close. And so a secret ballot election is takes place, and your employees vote, and again, I'm oversimplifying it, but over time, once the vote is made, then if a majority agree that that the union should come in, that the people should be organized, then you have your ability as an employer to deal with that, but eventually it's probably going to happen. But the key thing, Joan, is that the ballot that employees make to vote for or against it is secret, the way our elections are for all of our elected officials. Right?
Okay.
There's a secret. The new act that the Democrats are pushing through, Joan, the Employee Free Choice Act, is the card, what you call the card check a minute ago.
Yes, I mean, that's how it's known, and that's pretty much the most I know about this.
It's a postcard. It's a postcard sort of thing, and it's got let's say it's got yes or no on it, and people can literally come to your house, hand you the card, Joan. I've been talking to some folks about this. They can literally come to your house, hand you the card, and stand there and say, okay, do you want in or out? And while they're in front of you, you check what you want, and then they walk off with your card. And they know how you voted.
Okay.
That's how this new law is going to, what this new law is going to do.
Okay.
I think that's wrong. I think that's a mistake. And it's not good for the work employers, which, as you know, Joan, those are the people that I represent. But it's also not good, in my opinion, it's not good for employees. And it's a... Anyway, the president's going to veto it, but I think it's important to point out that that's what's happening today in Congress, Joan.
Okay.
Any thoughts? Any more thoughts on that?
Well, I don't want to get into a political discussion with you because I don't know much about this. I think you need to present the other side, and I don't know much about this, but I think you need to explain whether the current system is perfect or not. And
well,
from what
it may
I've
not
read,
be.
It's not.
The only thing that I'm talking about, Joan, is the ability to vote.
But you talked about an election process that gets a result eventually. And my limited understanding of this, there are a lot of opportunities for management to drag this out and throw obstacles in the way.
And there may be. And if those are the case, then those need to be fixed. But they can be fixed without doing away with something that's part of the foundation of our nation, which is secret ballots.
How would you fix them then?
Well, there are other things. You can do other things, but you don't have to do it by taking away the secret ballot. I don't know exactly what those problems are, if there are any. There may be, and I'm not saying that you're not correct. I'm just saying that there are other ways of doing this without taking away the secret ballot. You know, when we have voting irregularities in the United States for regular elections, but we don't take away the secret ballot when we try to fix those. That's my point. My point is not about whether these companies should organize or not, although I am against that. But that's not what my issue is with the alleged free choice. There is no free choice when you are required to sign a card in front of someone. And that's the thing. If they wanted to make adjustments to organizing where businesses can't take advantage of workers, if they want to fix that, I'd be for that. That's fine. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But the free choice thing, the card check, that's my problem. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. The president has vowed to veto it. Now, won't that be his first veto, John, or will it be his second one?
But are you assuming the House is going to pass this?
Well,
have they passed it yet?
No, the Senate. Well, of course, I think the House has. I'm not sure about that. But I think the House has.
The House has, okay.
It's either the House will, because they definitely have a majority of sponsors for this thing. In the House, but
okay.
The Senate may not pass it because of the supermajority, right?
Right, right. They'd need to get 60 votes. In the Senate, you pretty much need to get 60 votes for just about anything except really non-controversial bills.
You know, all of a sudden, Joan, I'm starting to see the wisdom in that.
How are you now?
Yeah, prior
you
to
didn't
this,
see the wisdom when the Republicans controlled the Senate.
It was really
That's
annoying.
Funny.
It was really
That's
annoying.
Funny.
It was annoying, an annoying thing for me last year, and I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm starting to see the virtue in the.
By the same token, I'm sure the Democrats are wishing they had agreed to the so-called nuclear option, which would have killed off the 60-vote supermajority.
They're
probably kicking themselves now.
Sometimes, you know what I think they should do? Well, I guess they actually kind of do. They should actually rent a stadium and do this in a stadium where people can pay to watch them. Stand by. Quick break. We're going to talk about a little bit about the stock market, and then we're going to talk a little bit about housing and some other issues when we come back with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Sweet Baby James.
And
welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Sweet Baby James Taylor. One of Joan Pride's favorite, right, Joan? Joan, are you there? Hello? We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride is here as well. Joan, you like James?
I just said I did, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Joan, let's talk about something that happened the last couple of days. The Dow dropped 400 points day before yesterday?
Yes.
Was it 400? How many? I forgot. I was traveling.
I know it's about 400.
Around 400.
I don't have the exact number, yeah.
Apparently, there was a correction that was probably going to happen, maybe prompted by there was a significant drop in China, right?
Right. China's markets apparently have been driven up by a lot of speculation, and there was a big sell-off in China yesterday. And, of course, given all the time differences and everything, once the U.S. markets started at, I think, 9 a.m., the China stuff had already happened, leading to a drop in the U.S., which didn't seem that precipitous until I think it was around 2 or 3 in the afternoon when there was a sudden, like a free fall of about 200 points.
Which what happened was, according to what I can tell in hearing some of the experts, was that part of the problem may have been caused by a computer glitch, because Joan, apparently, the main computer wasn't recording the trades as quickly and the adjustments as quickly as it needed to, and maybe was getting bogged down, and they flipped over to computer B, which apparently got everything caught up all at once, made the people watching think that, wow, everybody's selling off right like in the last 2 minutes. And that caused a little bit of a tiny bit of a panic, maybe.
Yes. So, and we can't undo those things, so we'll never know if that additional sell-off would have occurred had the glitch not happened.
Mad Money Jim Cramer says he thinks 250 points of the drop was because of a reaction to that computer glitch.
Wow, that's more than half.
I keep coming back to Charles McKay's 1848 book, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds.
Yes.
And, and of course this was more the madness of crowds kind of thing.
Right.
But the market corrected yesterday, didn't it? Came back up a little bit.
Came back a little bit. Didn't cover everything, but it came back up about 50 or 60 points.
Something like that. And I don't know what the futures look like. I don't know what it's going to do today. But anyway, it's interesting to see how these things happen. And it demonstrates to me, Joan, just further evidence that the stock market is such an emotional beast.
Oh, of course.
As opposed to the Main Street market. Wall Street is a much more emotional beast, and it's the reason why it's a good thing that the world has Main Street marketplaces, and why I think, Joan, the world should pay more attention to Main Street, not quite so much attention to Wall Street.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Joan, and speaking of Main Street, you guys report on housing this week. What's the news?
Well, sure do. Housing has been quite a lot in the news for a while now, because the big question is there a housing bubble? I don't know if there's a housing bubble. I know we've talked about that, but certainly in a lot of different regions, housing values have dropped. I think that's a fair statement. I think you'll agree
with
that.
Well, we had regional bublets.
Bublets.
Yeah, I coined a new word that nobody's ever used that word.
Oh, is that in the Merriam-Webster?
No, this is in the Blasingame Unabridged Dictionary.
Oh. Can I buy that in the bookstore?
Absolutely. Just go right in. In fact, it's on Amazon. You can get it. They'll give you a discount.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
These were bublets.
Okay.
Not bubbles, bublets. You guys have had a little bit of a bublet there in Washington, haven't you?
Oh, certainly. We're seeing housing values drop quite significantly in certain areas in the Washington, D.C. metro region.
Right. And probably some of the other areas, like maybe some Miami districts and Los Angeles, and who knows where. I think maybe in Las Vegas. I don't know. Those are bubbles.
I think you're getting the bubblets on the coasts and not in the middle as much.
Well, exactly right. In more of the urban areas. In Main Street America, Joan, in Sheboygan and Aberdeen and places like that, there's no bubble.
Yeah.
And not even a bublet. But what's all this going to mean, Joe? What does all this mean for the economy?
Well, we're saying that the current slump is going to find its floor. In other words, wherever there are slumps, things are going to kind of bottom out, and we're going to see an upturn during the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so too. And another thing, Joan, is a lot of builders. When we talk about housing starts being down, well, maybe housing starts were up too much already.
Oh, sure.
Just because housing starts are not, if housing starts are down, Joan, and that makes people get all antsy and nervous about it, maybe there's nothing wrong with the consumer of homes. Maybe there was something wrong with the builders of homes. Maybe they were getting a little too irrationally exuberant. Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe, we don't need to be blaming the home buyers and saying that their business, that they're not as optimistic or as excited about home buying as they used to be. Maybe it was the builders who got a little too excited.
Well, we talked a lot about when things were going crazy in certain regions about the idea of an overheated economy, and hopefully we won't have that.
That's exactly right. Folks, you got to come to the Small Business Advocate Show to get these new words like bublet. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, and we'll be right back with Joan Pride. Don't go away.
And as I still walk on, I think of the things we've done together while our hearts were young.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog while you're there as well. Thank you to those of you who have been using my blog like crazy. I really appreciate that. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad you're using it, and you are. And the visitor to page view on the blog is just unbelievable. So thank you for that. Everything that we do currently, all the new stuff that we're doing is right there on the blog. That's one of the advantages of the blog. It allows us to bring everything right up front for you. And it is a multimedia blog, by the way, folks. It includes not only the things that I write, but also the interviews that I do every day. And they're up there for a week or so. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, I want to talk just a little bit more about this housing thing, because lenders got pretty fast and loose with their approval process in the last couple of years. And apparently, according to Kiplinger, they may be tightening up a little bit. And if they do that, you know, some people have been using the R word lately.
Yes, they have.
And I don't agree with that, but I will say that if lenders get too excited about credit and tighten up on credit too much, that could send us into an R.
Ooh. Ooh, you came close to saying the R word.
Small business owners need to have access to capital. They don't need to be tightening up on the credit too much. I think we're doing okay. Housing, you know, maybe they went a little too far. But you know, we need the housing industry to be strong, Joan. And if they overreact, I'm not talking about good practices, good credit practices. I'm talking about overreacting. That could contribute to it, something approaching an R.
Well, and we just talked about panic a little while ago. Sure, you have irrational exuberance, and you have the opposite. I don't know if you call it irrational panic or what, but...
Mm-hmm.
Now, another reason...
I think that's called widespread panic.
Right. And that's the name of a rock group, I think.
That's right.
But another reason not to get too far off the subject, but another reason that the R word came up this week is that there was an economic report that came out on, I'm not sure if it was durable goods, but it was a report on the manufacturing sector that was weaker than expected for manufacturing output.
And the fourth quarter GDP went down almost a whole
point. Right. So, but I think you probably need another month of data or another quarter of data to really know whether things are that bad.
We're not going to have an R, Joan.
Right. Well, and Mr. Bernanke said that this week. He must have been talking to you.
Well, we talk all the time. He comes over and plays Rook over, you know, once a week we play Rook.
That's very nice of him. Now, but Mr. Greenspan was sounding a little pessimistic there this week.
Mr. Greenspan, God bless him. Thank you for your service, sir. We love you. We adore you. We revere you.
Stay on the golf course.
But you need to. You're retired. You need to stay retired.
Oh no, the tennis court. I'm sorry.
We need. We don't. One of the things, and I mean this, Joan. I mean this very sincerely, but I mean it with very seriously. But I also say it with all due respect.
Mm-hmm.
The markets do not need Mr. Greenspan co-opting Mr. Bernanke's message.
Well, they're going to get whipsawed.
That's exactly
that
right.
Way, yeah.
Big mistake. He needs to go. Andrea. He and Andrea need to go to Greece and take a trip around the islands or something. Okay, let's move over and talk about energy forecast, Joan. Crude prices are at about $60. And if you notice that gasoline seems a little higher today than it really ought to be at $60 a barrel.
Boy, it sure does. And for all the gas guzzlers I own, that's a real pain in the neck.
$225 or so, I think, most places for.
And where I'm from, as everybody knows, that's the Washington, D.C. area, it's $240 plus.
Yeah, that seems too high to me for $60 a barrel.
Yeah, I agree.
Natural gas. What's natural gas? And by the way, you guys say that it's going to go up for the summer. Of course, we knew that. And down in the fall.
And we're saying in the fall be below where it is now. So
below
that's 60. Good news.
Yeah, right. In the 50s. I hope so.
Right.
All right. What about natural gas?
Well, natural gas currently we're saying is $7.65 per million. Is it million BTU?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Per million BTU, and we're saying that's going to go down in June, I guess, you know, because of the summertime, and then back up and be a little bit higher in September than it is now.
Also, heating oil is going to follow, pretty much stay the same thing. Electricity, not a lot of energy fluctuation this year, Joan.
No, heating oil is almost. I'm surprised heating oil wouldn't drop more during the summer, but just going to stay the same.
But not much difference. The point is, it doesn't look like a lot of volatility with regard to energy this year.
Right, and that's helpful for small businesses.
That's,
I would think.
That's very good news. Very good news. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some taxes, some small business taxes, and some other issues that I think you need to know about that Kiplinger is talking about this year, this week, I should say. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You say the same words to someone else when I'm not there.
They ask me how I knew my true love was true.
Tony Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Classic. Doesn't get any better than that. Just like Joan Pride. Doesn't get any better than Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Right, Joan?
Can't argue with that.
That's one way I get it. I like to agree with my music. Joan, give us your the website is Kiplinger.com, isn't it?
You bet.
Kiplinger, and I encourage you.
And it's, you know, we've updated it and relaunched it, and it looks really cool. There's a lot of great stuff on it.
Pretty cool.
And
it's
a lot
site.
Of it's free.
A lot of it's free, but if you want more, as I do, I have to have more, you can subscribe to their publications, including the Kiplinger Letter,
yes,
which is the weekly flagship. Been around now since 1923. I've been a subscriber since 25. And then they have the three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. Oh, by the way, Joan, speaking of agriculture, on the show Tuesday, I interviewed a lady whose husband's family had been farming for over 100 years on this one piece of dirt, this 500-acre tract of land, formerly tobacco farmers.
Right.
Guess what? They decided to grow grapes and make wine.
Ooh.
North Carolina, Chardonnay, and Merlot, very good. In fact, they went to San Francisco and won awards.
Well, folks are making wine all over the country.
North Carolina wine won an award in San Francisco.
That's amazing.
Now, so folks, when I talk about the agriculture letter, as you know, Joan, I grew up on a farm and.
Right.
And they're some of my biggest heroes are America's farmers, especially the small ones. And then you got this magazine, Joan. What's that all about?
That's right. It's all about personal finance, and that's why we call it Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And I see it on bookstores. I see it in airports all over the place.
Yep.
In addition to subscribing, I bet you got a phone number too, Joan.
Sure do. It's toll-free, and it's 800-544-0155.
Check it out when you get a chance. They also will give you a 30-day free trial. Joan, January's inflation numbers, should we be worried about them?
Well, we're saying that people might be, but you really shouldn't be as worried. The increase in the core inflation was 0.3% for January, and it was higher than expected, But it was actually that was rounded up from a slightly lower figure. Mm-hmm. And we think that the reason that it went up, which is mainly cost of medical care and retail items, is not going to be sustained over the next few months.
Right.
So we don't think you're going to see increases like this going forward.
Well, and when I see some of the trends for small businesses, their pricing power is down, their profitability is not making the same increases that they were. They're doing okay. They're just not, you know, blowing it through the roof. Those trends tell me that the inflation is coming down.
Right. That's right.
And it's not going to be a problem.
Yep.
So I think we need to get off this R word thing. If we keep, you know, people keep saying it enough, Joan. And I don't say the word. I just say the initial. If you keep saying it enough, you know, you're liable to talk. We're liable to talk ourselves into it. What about taxes, Joan? Do you know anything about taxes?
I know a little bit about
you're
taxes.
You're like the tax expert, aren't you?
Sister. Well, this item goes back to the minimum wage bill that passed, that is in the process of being passed. And we're saying that when the conferees get that bill done and they get some of those small business tax breaks in there that we talked about last week, they're going to also have some revenue increases that hit mostly larger companies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would you like to know what they are?
Yes, please.
You probably don't want to know,
quickly,
but I will tell you. Okay. Stiffer penalties on businesses that cheat on taxes by using offshore tax havens.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to cap some deferrals into deferred compensation plans. And also, this is interesting. Companies had been able to deduct punitive damages, and they wouldn't be able to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. All because of minimum wage.
That's right.
And I'm not going to get on my soapbox, Joan.
Really?
Except to say that it is price controls. Minimum wage increases, price controls.
Okay, Jim, we only have a few more minutes.
I'm through, but
okay.
I'm still aggravated about it.
I understand.
But they did extend some of the tax breaks that we have, like the Section 179 direct
expensing. Right.
And some of the laws, some of the tax rules for professional employer organizations is going to get better. And the one thing I like about that, Joan, is because when more small business owners do outsourcing of any kind, including payroll, it's good for the economy. It's good for those businesses. So this adjustment in the law is going to make people be able to do more outsourcing, especially with regard to human resources. And I think that's a good thing. So that's one good thing that's going to come out of this, even though the bad thing is going to be the minimum wage. Joe, let's move down and talk about I tell you what, let's move over and talk politics over on page 3. Hillary and Obama are going at it, aren't they? Tooth and nail.
Yes, they are. But I'm interested in what you think of what Kiplinger writes about Hillary this week.
Well, it is very interesting. And you say that she's business's candidate for president in 2008.
Well, we ask the question. We
what
say Hillary
thinking?
Clinton, business's candidate for president in 2008.
Why would you even ask that question? I mean, even the question is preposterous.
Well, but we're saying donations are piling up from executives who think she's going to win. You're having a bad day, I know.
You know what, folks? I don't think she's going to be the nominee. I don't think she's going to be the nominee. I predicted that. But she is not going to be businesses, at least not small businesses candidate, I can tell you that, because she can't be bothered with every undercapitalized small business. That's a quote from her, by the way. Stand by. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Joan Pratt is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, back to Hillary and your question about if she's going to be business's candidate for president in 2008. She's not going to be business's candidate. Some businesses, a lot of industries, the larger companies, larger folks are going to be hedging their bets, and they're going to be giving to both candidates once they figure out who's going to be running. But Hillary Clinton is not going to be small business's candidate because I don't. She's already, as far as I'm concerned, she's already shown her colors. Back when she tried to push through the universal health care back in the 90s, she was asked, what about all the small business owners who will be hurt by your program? And she said, I can't, and this is a quote, folks, I heard it myself. She said, I can't be bothered with every undercapitalized small business in America. That's what, that was her comment. I've never forgotten that, Joan, I cannot get that out of my head when I think about her as potentially as president.
Right. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, the item here in Kiplinger's letter does say that she has a good track record on many business issues, including free trade deals, tax breaks for small firms, and she opposes stricter controls on foreign investors.
Well, yeah,
maybe
you know
she's
what?
Seen the light, you know. Maybe she's educated herself about small business.
But
who knows?
Joan, she has been tacking to the right for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Now she's got to tack to the left. If she gets elected, she cannot get elected in the middle. She's got to get elected on the right. I'm sorry, all the way on the left.
But you know what you should do? You should try to have her on our show and ask her about that quote.
I will.
Ask her if she still
believes
that.
To have her on my show.
I think that would be very interesting.
And you know I will ask her that.
Yeah. No, I think that would be great.
But that's the thing is she's going to have to go back to the left.
And if she's smart, she'll come on her show and explain that.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right.
On your
right.
show.
On my show, right.
Yeah.
Okay, Joan, let's move down and talk about all the airline delays.
Oh, do we have to? It's terrible.
I know
it's ridiculous.
JetBlue ran into a big problem. They now have they actually launched their passenger bill of rights yet?
Well, I know they were talking about it. I'm not sure that they actually have done it yet. And then, of course, there's talk in Congress of passing a passenger bill of rights, too, that would cover all the airlines.
Which I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't like when the government gets involved
no,
in how
but,
companies
but the airlines have to
operate.
Stop being stupid about keeping people on airlines for, you know, 10 hours.
I'll be honest with you, Joan. Yeah. I've never been on an airplane on a tarmac that long. I've been out there maybe an hour or so.
Yeah. I can understand an hour or two to stay in line and keep your place in line.
I will tell you this, Joan. I'm afraid if I were in one of those regional jets for more than an hour and a half or 2 hours,
yeah,
and they wouldn't let me off, I'm afraid I'd be calling you to bail me out.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
I would be getting off the plane.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't want to incite anybody to riot, but now that's... Or what about the deal a few weeks ago where they were just trying to get to the gate?
There was no gate for them, supposedly.
And they
right.
sat out there for 9 or 10 hours.
A gate, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody's not talking to somebody.
Now that's the kind of behavior that's going to that if the government gets involved in this, it'll be the airline's fault.
Exactly.
For letting
exactly.
something like that happen.
Right.
Happen, but
they should be able to clean up their act by themselves. But it's their own fault if government does step in.
You know, Joan, we've talked on the show before about the Massachusetts health care plan that Mitt Romney. And tried to get going and actually got done to some degree, not as much as he wanted. But this is where the government's working with healthcare providers to work together to help all of the folks working with private and public groups to get healthcare for everybody in the state. And that's happening in Massachusetts. Other states are following this, aren't they? You guys
That's right.
This week.
I think 14 states, and there are also other states considering tax credits. So, again, an area where the federal government may not be stepping up, the states are really jumping in.
Well, and see, Joan, there's some of this that I don't like, but here's what I do like about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing the tax code to fit 21st century reality instead of making us fit our 21st century reality into 20th century tax constructs.
Right, because as you've always said, that we're coming into the age of the entrepreneur.
That's right. And we need to have health care portable, not tied to employment.
Right.
And that's the key. And so some of these things that are happening, even though I don't like some of the parts, like the government getting involved as much as they are, I like some of the changes, and I hope that we wind up with some good legislation. Joan, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
As always, we'll see you next time.
That sounds great. I'll be there.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.